the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September 9th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Federal student loan relief applications expected to be online in a few weeks. Financial aid officers say this is also an opportunity to increase financial literacy.
At William Peace University, Director of Financial Aid, Dr. Valerie Clem Brown, says she supports the Biden administration's plan to offer $10,000 in loan forgiveness to federal student borrowers with incomes of less than $125,000 a year. But she's also worried there hasn't been enough focus on increasing college freshmen's understanding of the amount of money they're borrowing and how their chosen career might affect their ability to repay it.
Most of us couldn't go out and just buy a house without taking out a loan, but we do our research and we figure out what we need to do so that way we're not, you know, in the hole years from now. And I think the same thing needs to happen with student loans.
Research from the Education Data Initiative shows most borrowers have $460 in monthly student loan payments. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Navigating the complex maze of health insurance can be daunting, even for a seasoned professional. In Georgia, one woman is hoping to make the process easier, especially when it comes to single parents.
Cassandra Nelson is a single mother of four who says she's had her fair share of health complications. She says her kids are healthy for the most part, but after one daughter contracted COVID-19, her blood pressure skyrocketed, and the insulin coverage from their insurer was gone without explanation. Now, as part of a fellowship, a program through Voices for a Healthy Georgia, Nelson travels to underserved communities in places like Albany, Georgia, to steer others toward the help they need.
Advocating is something that I do. I like to be a voice for those that don't have a voice or don't know how to execute what they need.
Voices for a Healthy Georgia is part of the New Georgia Project, a nonpartisan voter registration group founded by Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams. The organization is facing an ethics complaint about its spending, which its leaders say is politically motivated heading into the November elections against Republican Governor Brian Kemp. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Now from CNBC, the Department of Justice Thursday appealed a federal judge's ruling to authorize a special master to review documents that the FBI seized from the Florida residence of former President Donald Trump. CNBC reports the Justice Department also asked the judge to pause her related order blocking the government from further reviewing documents marked classified that were found during last month's search at Mar-a-Lago. This is PNS. After an investigation found the e-cigarette maker Juul Labs deliberately targeted young people using a variety of marketing practices, Tennessee is among the states that will benefit from the court settlement. Juul has said its aim has been to transition adult smokers away from cigarettes, but states argued that its advertising showed otherwise. Tennessee, one of 34 states that will share more than $438 million. The Tennessee Attorney General, Jonathan Scrimeti, says in addition to explicit advertising to kids, the company is required to stop even so-called subtle forms of marketing through social media and other avenues.
Such as funding education programs, which let them put their name and the existence of their product in front of kids. They're not allowed to use people under the age of 35 in their marketing, so they can't pay influencers. They can't use celebrities who are younger, who appeal to younger people.
Though many Connecticut small businesses have weathered the pandemic, it's not been the easiest of circumstances. How are they doing now?
Small businesses make up almost half of Connecticut's economy, and they needed more than $14 billion in support from the Small Business Administration to stay afloat. Catherine Marks with the Connecticut District Office of the SBA says despite these tough years, she's been inspired to watch how well they've dealt with this call to action.
Small businesses deal with challenges every day. The pandemic just layered on such enormous challenges. And watching small businesses pivot was amazing. Watching a restaurant pivot from in-service dining to takeout and doing a spectacular job of it.
About 1,300 restaurants in Connecticut received SBA funding of more than $300 million to help them through the pandemic. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Finally, Mike Bowen tells us South Dakota regulators could get an updated map proposal this fall from a company behind a multi-state pipeline for underground storage of carbon dioxide.
Summit Carbon Solutions wants to capture carbon emissions from ethanol plants and move it through states like South Dakota to be stored underground in North Dakota. Gene Sequeira of the New School for Social Research says there's a body of research about this technology for coal plants that cuts into arguments about its effectiveness.
The studies have shown that process actually emits 3.4 to 4.7 tons of CO2 for each ton that's captured and stored. So it emits more carbon dioxide than it captures and stores underground.
And a new report from the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis notes most large-scale projects have underperformed.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.